I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Lazy CEO podcast. I'm Jane Liu. Join my conversations with the entrepreneurs behind the iconic brands we all know and love. Hey, Potty fam. Today I chat to the girls from Kick, Laura Henshaw and Steph Miller, better known as Steph Claire Smith on socials. Kick, which stands for Keep It Cleaner, is a content-based brand focused on fitness and wellness and has a community of 2.5 million people. Their Kick app, which features fitness programs, healthy recipes, and wellness practices, and the recently launched Run Club, has been downloaded over 750,000 times. You may have also heard their podcast, Kick Pod, which has been listened to 14 million times. We had such an amazing chat about their journey from models and influencers to being entrepreneurs, working with your bestie, tips on building a community, the ins and outs of app development, especially when you don't have a tech background, and all their challenges along the way. I hope you love this episode as much as I loved recording it. All right, let's get into it. Hello, ladies. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
That's such a weird thing. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, yeah, in your podcast. Oh,
Thank you for having us.
You guys now like run a tech business. Isn't that crazy? Like, what did you think you would be when you grew up?
I went on a journey. I had a few. Every kind of year of high school I changed. I wanted to be the first Prime Minister of Australia at one point. The first female Prime Minister. Not Prime Minister.
Still possible.
We had Julia Gillard.
Oh my God.
So she did it. Yes. And then from there, I wanted to be a doctor. And then I realized chemistry I found really difficult. So I didn't do that. And then I was going to be a dietitian. That's what I was originally enrolled in when I did my like year 12 exams. And then I got my ATAR back and I got a score where I could get into law. And I was like, well, how proud will my mom and dad be? I didn't do legal studies. I had no idea about law. But then I was like, I will do a law degree. So then I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I started it, I paused it, and then I did quarter time, like one subject a semester.
Didn't it get to the end where it was like, if I don't finish it this year?
Expires. You have to finish your degree in 10 years. So I was like, I'm not wasting all these subjects I did. In the back of my head, I was like, oh, I need a backup plan, like just in case, you know, you just never know. And then I also have found it's helped me quite a lot with Kick and in my role at Kick. So I was like, okay, I'll keep going.
And then Steph, early high school, very much interested in modeling, singing, dancing, anything performing. And then towards the end of high school, I took a huge liking to sport and PE and loved kids. So I was like, I'll be a PE teacher. And they were the subjects I enjoyed the most, like health, PE, arts, studio arts and drama and stuff like that. So I don't know. I thought I was going to go in that direction. But the closer I got to graduating, this modeling dream of mine was still like very much in my mind. So my mom and dad spoke to me about it and they were like, take a gap year, try it out, see how you like it. In that year, figure out if you do want to be a PE teacher, you can still go back to TAFE or uni and we'll go from there. But I got into it and I loved it and I was very fortunate to pick up quite regular clients and just kind of went from there.
That's awesome. And that's how you guys met through modeling?
Yeah.
You guys have had like body image issues with modeling. Talk me through that.
So we met about 11 years ago and it was probably at that point we were both at our lowest point with our bodies. Very fortunate that we both grew up with a really good relationship with food and exercise. Our households didn't have the talk of diet or anything in there, which we thank our mums for all the time. And I suppose didn't really appreciate until after we went through it ourselves how impactful that probably was on us as teenagers. Modeling industry certainly flipped that, but it wasn't just that for us. It was also social media. The rise in social media and having strangers have an opinion on your life, particularly when you put yourself out there as a model. It's like you're put on this pedestal of perfection. It's a new thing, getting trolled by people who don't know you, them telling you their opinion on your body and you taking it all in because maybe they're hitting a sore spot of an insecurity you've had for a while. So unfortunately for us, we both really only looked at exercise as a form to change our body shape. And for both of us, the goal was to get as small as possible. And then food was pretty much the same. Like, how can we restrict ourselves or control it to the point where we can be as small as possible? And it was something that we both bonded on because we both kind of got to a point where we didn't really recognize ourselves, not just physically, but just the way we were and our energy. And we bonded on it because we realized that the out on the market, particularly in social media, if you're following wellness or fitness, there was kind of two sides of the spectrum. There was like your gym junkies where it was like macros, counting calories, boiled chicken and broccoli meals. And then wellness was very much like the Gwyneth Paltrow superfood, you know, spend $300 at a superfood store. You can't get anything from Coles or Woolies, no way. Like, had to be fully organic, just totally unsustainable. And we kind of missed that middle ground that we both grew up with where you just cook food. You wouldn't look at pasta as like a bad food, or you wouldn't look at anything as a good or bad food because it just, we didn't have those labels. And we missed that. We missed having that relationship with food. So that was 2013, 14?
2015. No, 15. 2015. Yeah, 2015.
2015. We met in 2013.
What's the KICK philosophy?
It's all about making sustainable changes and moving your body because as Steph kind of touched on, for us, we were moving our bodies. And a lot of us do when we think about kind of we're at the start of the year, a lot of people set resolutions and it's often like we think that we have to overhaul our whole lives and like be better and change ourselves and go from 0 to 100 when it comes to like fitness and wellness and things. And with KICK, what's really important to us is building habits, but making those sustainable changes, but not because we hate our body. A lot of the wellness industry has made billions. It's a billion-dollar industry, billions of dollars on the fact that people, the insecurities that people have about their bodies and that they hate their body. And with KICK, we exist because we want to help people take care of their bodies. And for that reason in the app, so you come into the app, we've got over 15 workout types now. And the reason for that is because, so I'm a runner. And I know some people hate running like so much. You don't have to do it, right? You do what works for you. We've got, why we've got
like
such a big
needs
range.
To be chasing me for me to run.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean, but just because it's like at the moment, it's kind of like trending on TikTok and stuff. It doesn't mean you should just start running if you don't like it, right? So it's like, we wanted to have that variation and that breadth of content. But then also when you go through the app, for us, KICK, it's about how you feel. Like, that's what the focus is. And as you go through the app, there's not one point where you enter a before and after photo or you weigh yourself or we mention calories. Like, all of our recipes in there are, all of them are checked by a dietitian. That's really important. We've got a team of experts behind us because we aren't accredited within the health and wellness space. We're there to support everyone, but we've got this amazing, amazing team, and that's really important to us. But the dietitian will check the calories and do all of that work, but we don't put that in the app because we know that can be really triggering for people, as it kind of was for us. So it's about building those sustainable changes and feeling good in your own skin. And it's really special at KICK. What we find, the biggest impact we make on people, it's not that, you know, they might run for the first time or lift the heaviest they have in the gym before, but the stories we get are that they've changed their life, which is the most special thing in the world, not because of their body has changed, but because of how they feel about themselves. And they've built this amazing confidence. And there's one of my favorite stories is, and we get this quite a bit of a lot of women that don't feel comfortable in shorts and they'll
or
say,
sports bra.
I've never worn a sports bra shorts before. And because of KICK, I feel comfortable wearing it. And my body's the same. It's not about my body, but I now feel like I'm enough and I'm worthy of wearing this, and it doesn't matter what my body looks like.
But it's quite incredible as well, because they have now been encouraged to look at exercise in that way, in that, you know, if they're challenging themselves, it's on their terms. But other than that, they're, you know, moving because it makes them feel good, and that's how you're going to stay motivated to move. If you hate a certain exercise, you're not going to look forward to it in the week or like stay motivated to do it again, because you're just going to dread it and it feels like punishment. And that's the opposite of what we do. But with the confidence thing, it's really interesting because even outside of fitness, we get stories where they feel so confident because of something they've achieved through fitness that they can then walk into a job interview or ask for a pay rise and feel better in themselves or like feel more sure of themselves in their romantic relationship. Like, it's so beautiful. But confidence is definitely the thing I think that we help most women with through the KICK app.
Well, let's take it back to the ebook because how did the conversation even start? Like, let's do this. And where did the idea like kick off?
I had a dream.
Literally.
Sound like mum. I had a dream. It's legit. We kind of saw that there was a bit of a gap in the content that was being shared, particularly on social media and in the space of wellness and health. And we both loved cooking. Laws had a blog at the time called Food, Fit and Repeat.
Tragic.
And it was not tragic.
The name. It's so
funny. It was
not
tragic. There was a lot of delicious recipes on there, a lot that I enjoyed myself. And I think by that point, I had about 500,000 followers. So I was getting a lot of people asking me, because I would share like these cupcakes or like this pasta I might have made, where I was getting these recipes from. And I was like, well, Laura's website, or I'm making them up on the spot. And I think one of the most difficult challenges when we put the ebook together I was like, Laura, I've never measured anything. Like, I always just cook off taste.
So I was like, Steph, you have to write them out. It needs to go in the recipe book. And you're like, well,
but it depends on what I feel like. Like, sometimes I just carrots, dollop sometimes.
Of, do you watch out? Do you remember Huey's cooking?
Yes.
And you're like, just a dollop of butter, and it's like the whole container.
But yeah, so that was fun though. So we decided to create an ebook together. Ebooks were really big at the time. It was this big new thing that people were doing. We had no idea what we were doing. We literally Googled it, got a friend from high school to do the design because he was studying design at the time. We had no idea. We got like a fashion photographer friend of ours to shoot it, and we shot 37 recipes in one day, which anyone that has shot food before would know that that is too many recipes to shoot.
Because you had to make all of it.
And oh, some were pre-made 3 days prior. Yeah.
You meant to make them all in the day so it looks fresh. And, but yeah, the banana bread was full slimy. And the styling was, I'm not joking, we chopped the banana bread and we put a banana, like we didn't even peel it.
We went shopping for all of the stuff too. Like, we went to IKEA, I think, and got some like cute
plants. We went to IKEA to get our styling stuff. Yeah,
I think about the old like fashion content. We would have like the pot plants in the background. Yeah. Like, this is
just like
not
a little bit of cacao on the table, but it was like neatly sprinkled, not like messy chic now. But it was, an interesting project. But we were just really excited to put something out there that we knew that both of our audiences would like. And we had no idea though how much they would like it. Like, that ebook sold so well, regardless of the amount of spelling mistakes that were there on launch. So apologies to anyone who had the original.
Did you launch it with spelling mistakes?
Oh, like 20 of them.
Steph's mum was like, hi.
We went out for dinner the night that it launched, and my phone just kept pinging of like the next, and on this page, you mentioned zucchini, but then it's not in the method. So some of them were spelling errors, and then some of them were just we both read through it, but obviously not thoroughly enough. We're just excited to get it out there.
It's hard to read over your own thing because you're like, this makes sense to me.
But it was the first time. It was the first time we'd ever made an ebook.
Doesn't
it was the first
time
we'd ever released anything. Now we know, obviously, you have to proof things. Like, I mean, the worst spelling mistake we ever made was when we released our Bliss balls, our protein balls, were donut. Was spelled dog hut on the ball. But then we it was fine because we're like, we're not going to reprint this for sustainability reasons. Yeah. But and that was checked by, no joke, 20 people.
Oh my God.
And it's
missed
just like sometimes things get missed. But obviously in that instance, it was just us. So we've learned
from
them.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's that thing, like, if you're not embarrassed of your first product, you start to, like, it's just, you got to start.
100%.
But I think also, like, even now, the mistakes that we've made, typos or just.
You have to make mistakes to grow. Yeah. Like, you have to. Like, you can't without it. So. Spelling mistakes and all.
The ebook took off. What did you do next?
This is where we're at. Like, we sold it on Steph's website, which was stephclairsmith.com, like your modeling website.
Yeah.
So from that point, obviously, once you release an ebook, then it's just like, it's done. And so we're like, okay, well, what can we do next? So people were connecting with the recipes, they were sharing it. And truly to this day, I think the reason it got shared so much, people cooking, because they were like, oh my God, my food looks so much better than this photo in this book. Yeah. I'm going to share it.
Because cookbooks are always so beautiful and you can never make it look the photos. Oh my God, you guys are so strategic. Brilliant.
Yeah, we did that on purpose. We made it look shocking.
And so from there, we thought, okay, what can we do with this? And so we, at the time, subscription websites, this is 2016 at this point, the ebook would have launched around July. So it's about 5 months later. Yeah. So we launched a subscription website. It was $6.95. You got 3 recipes and 1 workout a month. The workouts were based on, we go to different trainers and film a workout
basically
with them in the back of their gym with the worst light. There was
or
no
the back
consistency.
Of my couch, like, honestly,
was,
anywhere.
It was very inconsistent, but we built up a small subscription base. And then we did that for about, It was 8 months because I remember because we had to manually refund the 4 months because we ended up then from there going into, for people that were on the annual subscription, we then went into a partnership with a bigger company that were building out kind of these platforms for, in quotation marks, talent within the wellness space and building a program out for you, basically what they did. So they said, look, we love what you're doing. Like, we can build this out in a bigger way with you. Do you want to do that?
So it's like white labeling the product?
Exactly White label. Exactly right. Except a lot of the, they had a team of about 50.
Yeah.
And so for us, we were like, absolutely. Like, this sounds amazing. We at that stage did not know how to build that.
And you just focus on what you're good at, which is like producing content and then like getting the eyeballs to buy it. And then, yeah, because you wouldn't, at that point, you're thinking like, I don't know what to do.
No, exactly right.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Absolutely. Exactly right. And also we didn't have the money to be able to hire a team and all those things.
Or even know what a team looked like.
Exactly right. Like who to hire. Exactly right. 100%. And so we worked with this company for 1 year. We learned so much through that time. And then we got to a point around 9 months in where for Steph and I, being the talent of it, is it meant that we weren't involved in the business decisions. And there was so much that we wanted, or all the business decisions, some of them we were. But there was so much we wanted to do with Kick, and we had so many dreams of where we could take it. And in this partnership, it kind of got us to where we were. But from where we wanted to take Kick, we had to go out on our own and do it. And so that was the biggest risk we have taken to date. We just, because of contractually, we lost all of the content. We lost all of the subscriber base. Wow. We lost everything basically, except our social platforms. And we had 3 months to go and build an app and rebuild all of the content and a team. And we did it.
That's huge. And wait, that was to build an app.
Yeah, to build an app.
And we got told that it wasn't going to work.
And you went from no staff to having your own tech team. That's huge. We did it in step.
We hired a team. We had about five people when we launched, maybe less.
I think four? We had two. I think it was Kat and Bailey.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. Four of us. There was four of us when we launched. Yeah. And then we went to an app developer. So we had a web app at the time. So basically just a website for the program. And one of the reasons that we wanted to go out and on our own was to build an app because we want it to be as accessible as possible. And because it wasn't an app, we're like, no, this can be more accessible.
People need to have it.
So then we found out that apps can cost $1 million to build, like crazy. We wanted it to be high quality because it's a competitive market. You can't release a shit product into the market. Exactly. We went and spoke to a friend who had an app development company and ended up working with that person who was fantastic and helped us a lot at the start of our journey. And so we worked with them for a couple of years. And then it was not until 2021 that we built our tech team in-house, which we now have. But that was how we were able to get the app and product up and running in 3 months. And then we sustained the subscription base. We actually increased quite significantly on the day of launch, which was really exciting. Because I think for us, obviously, we just had all these doubts.
You increased from where you...
Exactly. From that company that we left and that program that we left and then relaunched.
That must feel so good.
It was good. It was nice.
It was good. We were so worried. And then also it was like, can we actually do this? Like, well, everyone's told us we can't and that we're not experienced enough and we don't know and all these things. And so it was like, what if they're right?
Mm. Yeah. So even after the launch, I think we both went like, okay, cool. So it's launched now. Yeah. Now we better like keep this thing going. It's been amazing. And we were really lucky to work with who we did in the beginning as well. Like the tech company that we worked with, they were very creative and I suppose opened our eyes up a lot to like all the different opportunities that we had. And again, we would not have known who to hire or like what a dev team even looked like. Super fortunate for the journey.
That's the thing. It's like, you don't know what to do. And it's like, okay, we'll just start. It's not going to be the final. Like we've replatformed so many times and it's so painful each time. The contacts you'll make along the way, where are the pivotal points of growth for the business? Like what are the major milestones? Has it been like the product development that's really driven the growth?
The product development, definitely. I think one of our biggest milestones, so since going out on our own was definitely a huge milestone because that kind of took the ceiling off of what we could achieve and where we could build to. I would say the second one, the big milestone would have been in 2020, August. We relaunched the app. So before the relaunch, I mean, it has evolved so much from that point, but from where it was before that, Steph and I were in every single workout. There wasn't a content hub. It was very much, or we just launched just Monday. It was really small.
It was only for Pilates and yoga, I think, that content hub. But other than that, the workouts were Monday to Friday, like HIIT strength and boxing, and everyone saw the same workout, which at the time actually worked for a lot of people because the community felt like they were doing the same workout as everyone else. And it's really interesting because now when we launch things like challenges or new programs, they do have that like community feel to them where you feel like you're doing the same workout. But yeah, as Laura was saying, it just got to a point where people were expecting to also have those workouts on demand and just, you know, I feel like doing this today, or I feel like doing Pilates or strength.
And we used to film it all in the office. And we're like, we're filming behind there. And it was, we got to a point where it was like, okay, it's time to evolve this. And
I feel like that's like with the podcast. I'm like, tell Caitlin, tell them to stop shuffling furniture.
Oh, no, but we're doing burpees record. And like no music or any, no vibes.
It's just silence. It's just silence. So that was 2020. We also brought in at that stage, it's really important as well because the Kick brand was built on our personal brands, and to build it outside of us is really, really important. And so we brought in at that stage eight or nine new trainers. And so then before that, we just had one.
Yeah.
So then we ended up in around 20% of the content, which we are still in, instead of 100. So that was a really big step for us. There's now about 20 experts that we work with. We've built that base out quite significantly. And then big milestones for us are definitely around product. That makes a really big impact. Again, we're always like, it feels like we're redoing it, but it's kind of, it was always based on the same tech. But we, last year in Jan, we brought the programs on, which Steph led, and that was really exciting.
Well, kind of as I was saying before, it was the reason why we were first motivated was because it was kind of going to bring the community again along to follow something that they know that someone else is following the same journey as them. But what we were also seeing was people were loving the on-demand, but they wanted to progress to a certain fitness goal of theirs. They wanted to start somewhere and then make their way to something else. And with the masterclasses, they're amazing to build habits. Like if you're just looking to move your body more and you want to kind of like Netflix, just scroll through and find what you want for any given day, they're great for that. But for someone who kind of wants to follow a schedule and be told what to do and know that it's in a particular order written by an expert that's going to get you somewhere, that's where the programs were necessary. And yeah, we launched them in the new year period as well, which was great.
All the new year people at the same timing.
It is. It's that sentiment you see everywhere around that time.
It's great. And you re-platformed around COVID.
Everyone thought like, oh my God, how did you build this app just for COVID? We're like, guys, we've been going since 2018. Yeah. But obviously now everyone knows about.
But COVID helped the whole online fitness industry. 100%. And I think for us, the best thing about it, to try and find a positive in that, obviously, because that was devastating for so many people, but was when it comes to moving your body, people realized, hang on, I don't need to spend this much to go to a gym or to have a PT or to spend time in my day to get to and from the gym or whatever. I can actually motivate myself to move my body at home or at least have a blend of both. And so people have cut back costs so much, which is important, especially the way the world is going. For us, it was like, it was a really nice sentiment, whether they're doing Kick or they've, you know, found their flow with something else, that's fine too. But that people have been able to find a new routine that works for them that is a lot more sustainable is awesome.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey Polly fam, I've got something special for you. For a limited time only, I have a discount code for my business course. In case you didn't know, the course is a blueprint for starting an online business and growing it to 7 or 8 figures. It's 10 modules of videos that you can watch at your own pace, covering everything from sourcing product, growing and developing your product range, operations, and marketing and scaling your business. Just use the code PODCAST at checkout at thelazyceo.com.
And you've got 750,000 app downloads. and 5.5 million workouts completed. I can't even like compare it to something, you know, that's huge.
It's pretty special.
What's the toughest thing about getting everything up and running?
The toughest thing. I think.
Or the biggest hurdles.
The biggest hurdles. I think the tech has been a big hurdle for us because Steph and I, a lot of tech, health tech companies, one of the founders is a CTO or has been a tech, some has a tech background. And so we both don't have a tech background, but it's been now we've obviously brought in team members that have that level of expertise, but that's definitely been something that's difficult because we just didn't have that skill set. And I think to build, we've obviously learned so much, but am I going to put my time into having the technical knowledge of a CTO? No, because that's not where like my time is best spent or Steph's, right? And so that's been one of the hurdles. And I think probably another hurdle for us has been building the right team. When I speak to like so many founders, it's always the first thing that is the hardest thing, because having the right people, like that's, we can only do so much. But when you have a strong team behind you, we have a team of 20.
Oh, amazing.
And Steph and I are only two, right?
I feel like after 12, it gets difficult.
Yeah. And like, of course, there's like lots of different personalities and like culture is a huge thing. Like we want to make sure everyone is feeling really good at work and motivated. And, you know, we are all working towards an incredible why. And like we see the impact and we try and share that with the entire team, regardless of their role, so that they can feel like they can see what they're doing. Like if they make a change in the app, if they're in the dev team or if they're in the marketing team and they're responding to one person, but that one person you've like made their world because they can now access their workout or anything simple like that. It actually makes such a huge impact with our community. So for us, it's like that team and that culture and them being excited about what they're working on is really important. But like, personalities can clash, and like that's the thing too, and it doesn't mean that anyone's wrong or right. It's just been hard to, I think we're always evolving and the team's always changing and people have their own personal goals as well, which you can't control. Sometimes it's sad when someone moves on and we're like, okay, well,
I know, I realize.
But then you think about yourself and you're like, well, yeah, I probably have my own, like I'd want to move on too.
Yeah. Well, I realize I've never been like really dumped just because I've been like in this like actually I did once and I was like weeping publicly by this guy I met at school. He said I dated for like 2 weeks, so like I don't deal well with breakups, so I haven't had a serious relationship breakup dump me. But I realize every time someone quits I'm getting dumped. Well, I feel like you I'm
take
getting
it, it's hard to take. I think that's something we've had to work through. It's like it's not so personal.
Like,
so
the main thing is to like kind of retain people on the app. Like what do you do for app retention and like customer retention? I mean, you have built an amazing community. To have people not cancel the subscription, like what do you do?
Oh, it's such a good question. And I think it's something that the whole industry is like
trying to work out.
Because acquisition is getting more difficult, especially, I mean, with Kik, because of the way we've built the business and because it's kind of been a silver lining in us not having any funding and then also not having experience in paid media. We have done very limited paid media to date. I think 90% actually, 90% of our downloads have been organic. 10% wow, come from paid.
Amazing. That also means like once you do ramp up paid media, that's huge.
Which is, it's exciting, right?
It is exciting. There's a lot of opportunity.
There's so much opportunity. But what that has meant is that with acquisition, obviously it being really difficult, is that then keeping some, because you're bringing people in and they're downloading it. Like we've done campaigns before through paid where we've got all these installs and like super cheap installs, amazing. But if these people aren't even signing up or getting through the free trial period, there's, who cares how cheap the install is, because they're not actually using the product. And so retention for us is really obviously extremely, extremely important, because if we decrease churn by 1% or 2%, it helps us. The growth is 10% over time, kind of every single year. And so what we focus on, a big part is content. We are, in terms of the offering and how we're quite different to the rest of kind of our competitor apps.
It's not a quick fix.
Definitely. Yeah. But, and our breadth of content is, we have a huge breadth of content and we have the programs as Steph's already mentioned, but then we've also got the masterclasses and we've got this huge offering and we're continually bringing in new trainers, new types of content.
New recipes every week.
New ways to motivate, new challenges. And all of that is really, really important for retention. That makes a really, really big difference. And then as well in bringing in, we've actually, it's really exciting. We've never had we've only now really implementing life cycle marketing in the way that a lot of our competitors have been doing for 10 years. And that's exciting for us because there's this huge opportunity.
If you're doing so well without even doing these things, that's like really exciting.
I think for us, though, it's even like because of I mean, what we are driven by is our community, and we're in that community every single day, and we're talking to them every single day. And so we know what they are asking for. We know what they are loving. So we have our fingers on the pulse, I would suppose, with what they're enjoying and what's motivating them. And I often have to like switch my mind into like, I suppose, more commercial business mode and thinking like, hey, well, we actually want to help more people. So like how can we, you know, appeal to more people in like different markets and et cetera, and then think about acquisition. But for me, I default to retention because I'm like, we are impacting these people's lives. I'm in the DMs with them and I'm so emotionally attached to this person that we need to make sure that like they have access to the app. Like if there's like a bug or something's happened, I'm like, oh, this is the end of the world. And the dev team have to be like, it's affecting like 0.0002% of the users. We'll get through it. But I think we are so connected with our community. We know what they're after. And I think comparative to what we know of the industry, we do have incredibly strong retention rates. And I think it's because of that connection with our community, knowing what they need and want, but also just knowing what is sustainable and what's not.
What has been like the toughest time?
I wonder if it's going to be the same. I think for me, it was, I won't say the time period, but a period.
Yeah, it was where, the same period.
Yeah. Where we both lost a lot of confidence.
Lost is the best word because I think outside of confidence, we just also felt lost.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. And that was from working, just some of the people that we had around us. And it's just one of those things for us. I don't think we'll ever go through that again because of what we have. And at that point, we had no founder network. That's made a huge difference because when you don't have a founder network and someone is telling you things like you're not good enough, like all these kind of really, really like self-sabotage. Well, it's not self-sabotage because they're sabotaging you. You know, they're saying all these things at you.
Exactly. Yeah.
When that happens and you don't have a network of people to be like, hey, oh, I don't actually know how to do this. And then I'll speak to another founder and they'll be like, oh, I didn't know how to do that either. Here's this person. They can help you.
Yeah.
But it's just this worry of like, oh, it's for me, it's like I'm worried and I'd only, you know, been working for 8 years or whatever it was. And I was like, okay, well, all of these other CEOs, they've been working for way longer. So I don't know anything. And so I'm not good enough. And then I was like, I got to a point where I was like, do I need to go back to uni and do, because at that point I don't want to be a lawyer. I've definitely decided from the small amount of legal work I do at Kik, like reviewing of the contracts. I'm like, I don't want to be a lawyer. So what am I going to do? I have to go do something else. I'm going to have to go back to uni. And that was a really shit time, but I think that would not happen again now because I think I have, and we've both built up our confidence so much and that founder network has helped so much.
Yeah. Because sometimes you need people to look from the outside and say, no, I think like what you're doing is great. I don't think you need to change anything. Or like, I think maybe you could try this, but rather than just kind of having people who we perceived as like experts, so they definitely know better than we do, and just believing everything that they say and kind of like ignoring our own instincts or gut feel, because what would we know? Like we were both in that period for a while, and it would take other founders or other people that would look from the outside to kind of remind us, well, look at what you've done.
Yeah.
Without knowing anything.
Sometimes you just need that little pat on the back, someone to believe in you for you to like realize that, you know, I know what I'm doing, but I don't know if that is the emotion. Like you're like, I feel like you kind of feel bad about saying that you've had let someone tell you what to do, but I went through this in 2020, 2021, like, and that's after having Shopper for like 10 years. Mm. I let people with more seemingly more experience come in and kind of tell me what to do and buckled and listened. And we just made a bunch of wrong decisions. And then the business got worse and I kind of became more reliant on them. Since then, I realized how shattered my confidence was 10 years into the business and like receiving awards about like Shopo being great, having, you know, different signs of validation, like the fact that it can still happen. You know, I remember they would say like, oh, I've got nowhere that I've worked has done this, but I'm like, well, you've worked at other places and wouldn't my experience at Shopo apply more because it's the most applicable to the current situation? And then so what are some of the like biggest lessons you've learned along your business journey so far?
Oh, I think trusting.
I was about to say, I thought you were going to say that.
Like through so many times. We've both like not been 100% on something, but again, we've trusted someone who seemingly had more experience and have gone down a route a bit naively and regretted it. And then, but not to the point where it's like been detrimental, obviously, like we are where we are because of our journey. So even the hurdles have been huge lessons, but I think the biggest one of all, and the one that happened too many times to now ignore, we can't ignore it anymore, is our gut feel on things. Yeah. And I think it's because, like, as Laura touched on earlier, like, the business has been built off our own personal values as well. So we are so emotionally tied to what we do for our community. We know what's best for them. So yeah. I think we just need to back ourselves more.
Yeah, I always say that, like, even if you make a wrong decision when you follow your gut, you're just like, okay, mistake made, lesson learned. But it's when you don't follow your gut, that's what keeps you up at night. And that's when you're like in the shower being like, oh, you know, like that's the ones that really get to you.
And then you can't solve for it. I think that's what, when we've been in times where we haven't followed our gut, we've really leaned in on people around us, but too much to the point that I get to a point where I'm like, well, I can't solve what's been like kind of done. I don't know how to solve because I don't understand why we did that in the first place. And I don't really get that. Like that wasn't the vision. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the vision like steps and if you want people around you to challenge you and help you like get that. And that's, we've got really, really great advisors now. Like, we're in a really great place. But I think when people are pushing you towards a vision that isn't yours, it's not going to be easy because you don't understand what the vision is. You can't see it. You can't solve for it. You can't execute on it. And that's when you're like, oh my God, how do I even run this company? But now I feel like with this year going into 2024 with our team, with our strategy, I would say like hands on heart, I have never felt more clear with what we're doing and that our team is so tied to what the business is doing and our strategy and our vision. And it's exciting. Yeah. Because when you don't have it, it sucks.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard to be authentic and consistent because you're kind of guessing what you should be doing as well. And so what is next for you guys?
Over the past year, we've brought on more product team members, which we haven't had before. So with Kik, we used to have kind of marketing and engineers.
Do you mean physical product or digital product?
Digital product. So we had engineers and then we had a marketing content team. And so the marketing content team would plan out the campaigns and then would brief the devs and the devs would build it out. What we didn't have for a long time was product people as the glue, like product designers, product managers. And they have been a fantastic part of our business. Yeah. And we're working on a few projects at the moment that will make a really big impact, especially on what we're talking about around retention and keeping people in the app and motivating them. There's a lot of stuff we're doing with that, which is exciting. Then the other part is international expansion. So we've done a bit of work in the UK last year. We've grown our revenue grew significantly in Jan on last year's Jan, which was fantastic after the work that we did over there in the market in the UK. And so this year will be about really kind of continuing that and starting to grow more outside of Australia.
We did too much, to be honest. We went over there for a couple of weeks.
We did 7 events, which we had about 500 people. The day we left, we did 3 HIIT workouts because we were like, we've got to see as many people as we can.
The wait list was, I think, 1,700 people that we didn't get to meet.
So we wanted to meet as many people as we could while we were there. So we did the events. We also did, with the podcast, we interviewed about 8 people from the UK in the market. And it's such a good way, obviously, to get people from the UK listening to the podcast. And we've been able to increase our listenership in the UK quite significantly, which has been great. And with us, because we find, and again, coming back to the retention question, when people know what Kik is, they know what they're getting. They've heard the story. They've heard the journey. They get to know the brand and then they come in, they stay. And so the podcast is a really good way to kind of bring people in and get to know the brand. And then, you know, if they are in consideration phase for a health and wellness product, they'll think of Kik. We did quite a lot of PR. It was amazing. We did a few podcasts and I was like, how the heck do we get on this podcast? Like, this is amazing. And then we'd get there. We did the Wednesday podcast with Sophie, Habu and Melissa. And we got into this room and I was like, girls, can I just ask? Their podcast gets millions and billions of downloads. Like, it's huge. Why did you say yes to our PR? Because we get pitches as you would all the time for the podcast. So we're like, we're this Aussie business. Like, they're like, oh my God, Steph was the first person we ever followed on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Like, we love you guys. Like, we love Kik. Like, which was amazing. So that was really good. So we did that. And then what we've been able to do too is build with the influencers and kind of community leaders that we will work with in the market. We wanted to get to know them because it can be quite kind of transactional if you just message over Instagram, you never meet each other. And especially with Kik, with our messaging, and it's much more complex to communicate a subscription like wellness product than I always am so jealous of e-com. I'm like, oh, I wish we had like a physical product. It's not easy, but with the layers of communication.
I know. I see both because I've got a business course and I'm like, oh my God, no inventory. But then it's also like, we constantly have new arrivals that you can talk about and that's kind of easy to just like constantly have this thing to talk about. I know it's both until you're like, get overstocked and you're like, oh, fuck.
Exactly, exactly.
Pros and cons to both.
Yeah, so that so it was important we develop those relationships yeah. with them. And yeah, so it was, we were there for a couple of weeks. And it was also, it was just like everyone said to us, because in Australia, tall poppy syndrome is so real. Yeah. And people, it's like they really support you until you get to like a little bit successful. Yeah. And then they like do not want any success for you. And we put these people, we put everyone in these kind of boxes of like, okay, this is how successful they are. Like that they're not going out of this box. Mm. Like that's what they need to be. But what we found in it, everyone said this to us, you just need to go to other markets and people think so fucking big. And that's what's been the most amazing thing. And I think for us, it's like, because when you, we've been doing Kick now since 2015, but the app since 2018. Love learning, love being challenged. And so it's like, okay, how can we keep innovating this? Because when you've done this, you know, the same thing kind of every single day, and we're definitely challenged every single day. No, I'm not saying we're not, but it's like, okay, what can we do next? How can we evolve this? And being over in that market, it was like, there is so much that we can do and it's really exciting. But in Australia, it's like, I just feel like sometimes you just feel squished, like it's concrete, like coming in on your head.
Yeah, I feel like
dramatic with this.
But I do feel like sometimes I remember when I first had a Daily Mail article and then made the mistake of going to the comments section. And I was like, oh my never. God. But I was like, I've made it. I'm yeah. like, when you're getting negative feedback or criticism, you're like, that's when they think you're big, you know? Because when you're small, everyone's like, good on you. And I was like, this actually is a bit of a milestone.
I feel like on the Daily Mail, though, they will trash you if you, no matter your size.
But at the time, I thought it was, for me, I felt it was a big feature. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And so how do you guys work together? Like, what's your different roles? How do you balance each other? Do you cover each other's blind spots?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been an evolution.
Yeah.
When we first started, we didn't, with the ebook, we didn't intend for Kick to, we didn't know what it was going to grow into, right? And so we didn't sit down and say, okay, this is your role and this is my role. No. And so that's something that as the team has grown, we've had to do. Steph is chief community officer, head of community. When you give yourself a title when you're the founder, people are like, well, how's it feel to be a CEO? I'm like, well, I am self-appointed. So yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's yeah. Like, I've never had a promotion in my life. Yeah,
exactly. But for a long time, we didn't have a CEO in place and we had different, we didn't actually have titles at that point. But we actually, it was really great. We had an advisor who sat down with us and said, and I'd probably done more of the, where I gravitate to in the business is more around that role. Yeah, and then absolutely. Steph did gravitated to the other side of the business, like product creativity, all of that, and community. My attention to detail, like unless it's an Excel spreadsheet, sucks. Like,
whereas if it's in an Excel degree, spreadsheet, yeah. I don't have any attention to detail.
But our advisor sat us down and she said, like, hey, you guys need to have a CEO. It's really confusing for the team. They yeah. don't know who to go to. It's not, there's no clear roles and stuff, responsibilities. Yeah. And I was like, it's always something that I've thought I could do, but I wouldn't want Steph to think that I'm telling her what to do or like I'm in charge because it needs to feel equal. It's very important. And then she had the same conversation with Steph and Steph was said like something like, oh, I don't want to do it. And I no, feel bad.
I said, I thought she already was. Yeah. I just like, we just hadn't like had a title name. Yeah.
But you felt bad like, of like, I don't want to put that if I didn't want it. Yeah, you're like, I don't want to put it.
I said that too. Mm. And I still, I think for at least the first couple of years, because how long has it been now? 3 or 4 years that yeah. you've had the role. But yeah, even for the first couple of years, I was like, I just need you to know, I don't want anyone else in this role but you. But at the same time, the moment you don't want to be in it, like don't feel like you need to be. Oh. We'll work through something.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah, for me
so
it was
cute.
A no-brainer. Yeah. It just like made the most sense. Like, because I could not see myself. That's just no, so far in my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And just none of it interested me. I also didn't want someone else coming into that role, mm-hmm. especially at the time and still now to this day. It's that she is the best person for that role, regardless of the experience. I think it's more the connection that she has with what we are doing that was important to me.
And so how do you guys balance everything with like life and stay focused and, you know, what helps you keep centered?
Balance is a funny one. I don't think it, like there's no perfect balance.
Like having a kid, like yeah. how do you find, you know, balancing that?
Yeah. I mean, everyone has their sacrifices, whether that's like they're seeing their friends less, family less, or just doing things that they love outside of work less. For me, obviously, yeah, that's time with my son. I'm having less time than maybe I would like to. But I think when you're so fueled by what you do, though, some of those decisions are a little bit easier and kind of feel like, well, of course, this is what we're doing. Or of course, I'm going back to work. And of course, I'm, because it's just, it fills us with so much joy, the impact that we are making. And so I think for people who are maybe going back to work and do feel like they're going to miss their child a lot and then aren't fulfilled by their jobs, I can only imagine. So like, I feel like when I can complain or vent about how I might be missing him, I'm like, at least what I do fulfills me. At least what I do, you know, fills me with a lot of joy, because not everyone has, they're not in that position. So I try and look at it like that. But balance is, yeah, we both have a very funny relationship with balance, because things are just constantly off balance. And I think we've just come to a point where that's okay, that we'll do what we can to carve out time to, you know, outside of work that's going to fill up our cup, whether that is time with family, whether that's exercise, whatever it is, it's still very important. But at the end of the day, we're in a growth stage right now, like with what we are doing, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. But that also comes with sacrifices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you guys have your two truths and one lie?
Oh, yes.
Yay. Remind myself of what I wrote down, because I was like, we always struggle with this kind of thing, but I think I've got it.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was a DJ. I have my husband's name tattooed on me. I had half blonde and half pink hair.
Okay, so I think the lie is the pink and blonde hair. The tattoo.
The tattoo, yeah. He got my name tattooed on him, which gave me honestly a heart attack. I was like, I still say the font. It's written like, he was so funny. It was for my birthday, and he turned around, he's like, I didn't get you a card, but I got you this. And I was like, oh, Dalton, oh, we're married, so like, it's fine.
Wait, you were married at the time?
Like, we were not married at the time. But honestly, like, every time we do it at the beach, I'm like, we have to go and get it removed. Like,
where I just is it? Can't.
On his chest, and he has no other tattoos.
Oh!
So it's a lot. It's a lot, isn't it? Anyway, I'm excited for yours.
Okay, my first proper kiss was with a girl. I have a tattoo, and Italy is my favorite place I've been.
Okay, I'm going to go with the tattoo being a lie.
I've got it.
Oh, damn it. I was like, looking for a tattoo. That's too obvious.
Yeah.
Which one's the lie?
I haven't been to Italy. Oh. It was where we were meant to honeymoon, but then COVID happened. Yeah. I still will, and I'm sure it will be my favorite, but I haven't been there. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, so great to chat to you guys. Will you leave us, please, with your advice for anyone who wants to follow your path or a similar path to you?
I think, but you have to believe in yourself. Like that is the most important thing. And you have to start somewhere. I think with us, like with the ebook, you don't have to have all of the answers before you get going, because you will never have all the answers. And we still don't have them now. So don't wait.
I would say you don't need a business partner, as in like from the get-go, but there's a lot of pros to it, as long as it's the right person. So when we went into business together, a lot of people were like, are you sure that's the right thing? Like, it's going to really affect your friendship. But I think when you are so aligned with what you want to do and where you want to take it, I suppose emotionally attached to the business like we both are, it absolutely can work. And there are points where either one of us have really struggled with something in particular, and the other one's always been able to lift them up. So there's been, too many points where I've been like, I could not have done this without Laws. So if you are looking at going into business, and you absolutely can do it alone, if you have the right people, you know, advising you or giving you support, but I personally have loved not doing it solo.
Yay. I mean, you guys have such great energy around each other. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congrats on like such an amazing business.
Thank you.
You too.
Yay. Okay, that's it from me for now. Thanks for listening. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. And if you want more, join the conversation on the podcast Instagram at thelazyceo_podcast. Link to the show notes. Catch you next Tuesday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.